Praise the Lord. I welcome everyone to our worship service today in Jesus' name. And I pray that your appearance, participation in the worship in the presence of God will bring a great blessing in every life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you and bless your name. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for watching over us. And thank you for the great manifestation of your love, of your power, and the fulfillment of your promises in our lives. We're asking, O Lord, that today your word will reach forth to everyone in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, to personally take the word to heart, and that your word will not just pass by us, it will like water wash us, cleanse us, like fire purge and purify us, and make us ready to be in your presence, serve in your presence, and eventually get to you up in heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're coming to 1 John chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 4 and verse 5. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. He overcomes, keeps on overcoming, and keeps on overcoming the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5. In verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We're talking about victory, about glorious victory, and about how to obtain that glorious victory and maintain the glorious victory over sin, in particular over lying, over deceit, over deception, and over deceivers, obtaining glorious victory over lying and deceit. What we find in the historical part of the Bible, how the history of individuals, history of families, and history of tribes and nations are revealed unto us. And in the historical part, we find this terrible, anti-righteous or righteous relationship coming up and up every time. It started with Cain, lying. Goes on to Balaam, lying. And then we come to David, lying. We come to Ananias and Sapphira, lying. We come to even a greatly respected Peter, lying. The sin of lying and deception came into the nature of man after the fall. Where is Abel thy brother? I know not, am I my brother's keeper? It was in the nature, and it's in the depravity of man to lie. The lie to cover up. The lie to look good when they are bad. The lie to appear righteous when they're sinful. The lie so that they will demonstrate the nature of their father, the devil. But When we become born again, he gives us the victory. Please, not when we become sanctified. If you're a liar, you are not born again. When we become born again, when we're saved, we've repented of our sins, and we come to the Lord in total repentance, and we turn around and turn away from every form of sin, lying, deception, hypocrisy included. And he cleanses us, he forgives us, he sets us free. Then we have the victory over lying, over deception. We come to a peculiar, terrible situation today, where this kind of lying and deception had other branches. But as believers, we need to know, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're not looking unto Abraham. He's not the author and the finisher of our faith. We're not looking unto David. He's not the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible is so clear, and the Bible paints the picture of everyone in clear colors, so that we're not deceived by anything. But the word of God is clear. Christ is a model, and Christ is a perfect example. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look at this subject, obtaining glorious victory over lying and deceit, under three subtitles. Number one, the secured dependence becoming subtle liars. Number two, the strong delusion in believing secretive liars. Number three, we're looking at the sanctifying dominion bestowed on spiritual leaders. Number one is the secure dependence becoming subtle liars. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, we're looking at verse 5. And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thy eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Verse 6 tells us that Achish gave him Ziklag. That day wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah, unto this day David became a dependent on Achish. Achish took care of him. Achish gave him a place to live, and there was security there. There was apparent peace there, and there was independence there. Achish did not look at anything he was doing. This man became a secured dependent, and the 600 people with him were also secured. There was no threat against their lives. And yet, it was in that same situation and this same locality that David and the other 600, the secured dependents, became subtle liars. Look at three things. Number one is the cruelty of subtle liars. Number two is the character of all secretive liars. Number three is the condemnation of apparently successful liars. Approved successful liars. Well, somebody may succeed. David succeeded in what he went out to do. He lied, he succeeded, but a success for 10 years, success for 70 years is nothing to be compared with the suffering of 100, 1,000, 1,000,000 years of eternity. If that liar does not repent, there is condemnation of the apparently successful liar. Number one is the cruelty of subtle liars. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, reading from verse 9, 1 Samuel 27, verse 9, and David smote the land, and let neither man no woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. You see the cruelty. David was not provoked by the people. No. The people did not offend David in any way, and yet he set his eyes on them. He was going to destroy them. He wanted their sheep, he wanted their cattle, he wanted their property, but that territory belonged to Achish. And Achish was king and chief over all that area. And David went and smote the land unprovoked. It's like Satan, who was Lucifer in heaven, and God gave him the right and the privilege of being the leader, the captain over all the angels. There was no sin, there was no temptation, and there was no provocation, and yet Lucifer turned against the Almighty God. When nobody provoked him, when God did not offend him, when God gave him everything he could have hoped for, and God had created him to be the leader and the captain of the angels. Look at David here, smiting all the people, killing all the men, and killing all the women. And he knew that these people will be going to eternity. Where will they spend eternity? He never thought of those who are not saved, those who are not forgiven, those who did not know the God of Israel, where they will spend eternity. What a great, great, violent kind of cruelty. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, and Achish said, whither have ye made a road today? Where have you gone today? And David said, against the south of Judah. That was a lie. And against the south of Jeremiah, and against the south of the Kenites, in verse 11. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner. All the while, all the time, he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. He killed everyone, even the others that could have escaped. He said, if I let this one go, He will tell story. He will reveal what I have done. Because of that, he has to die. And did look at this innocent woman, weak woman. If I let her go like that, and she's seen what we've done, the havoc we have done, it will tell on us. And it will expose what we have done just because of that. To protect his evil deed, killed that woman. And there are people like that today. They've done something wrong. They're doing something wrong. And they know they are wrong. But they do not want anyone telling stories about them. Revealing facts about them. What do? They kill. They destroy. They might not be able to kill in the physical, but they make sure that they shield that fellow from the people in authority. They're doing evil. Maybe it's somebody living with them, and that fellow can tell how life is sinful, how life is corrupt, and they will shield that fellow from seeing more light and from getting near leadership, so that leadership will not know from this girl, leadership will not know from this young man, leadership will not know from this a kind of co-worker in the office, so that people will not know. In fact, there are people that are in the church, they live outside, maybe they have members of their family, and those members of their family, they know who they are, they know their lives, and they know the hypocrisy, and they know the cruelty, and they know the unrighteousness in their lives. They will do their very worst, that those people will never come to the church, will never identify with this church, because if those people get near this church, they can tell about me. They kill them spiritually, and they don't care whether those people know the truth or not, and whether they get to heaven or not. It's the cruelty of subtle liars. You will not know they are telling lies. They're so subtle about it. Look at number two. Number two is the character of secretive liars. They lie, they deceive, but they do what they do in secret, as if God will not know. And that's what David did, very, very secretive. And Achish could not tell that this man was a liar, terrible liar, murderous liar. That's the character of secretive liars. They think about themselves. They think about their own protection. They think about their own looking good. They think about their standing in their community. And they do not think about the other people. Secretly, they will do evil. In Psalm 10, I'm reading from verse 4. Psalm 10, verse 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all their thoughts. When David did what he did, when he lied and projected all that kind of lying, was he thinking about God? No. God was not in his thoughts. When somebody is a sinner, a backslider, but pretending to be righteous, pretending to be a good man, a good woman, a well-placed woman leader, a well-placed man leader in the church, and yet outside back at home. All the children know that father or mother is just a hypocrite. deeper lie. And they do not even have confidence in the church, because they can see the number one deeper life they know in their family is cruel, is wicked, and she does evil. And she doesn't even have the mouth or the confidence to invite them. Even if she invited them, they will not come, because apart from hearing message in the church, at home, there is no God in his thought. And in the office, there is no God in the thought. In interaction with people back at home, there is no God in their thought. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, it says, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit. It says he's religious. It says he's even a Christian, not an ordinary Christian, a deeper Christian. And yet his mouth is full of deceit and fraud. And under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, he sitteth in the locking up places secretly of the villages. In the secret places, does he murder, kill, slay, destroy the innocent? His eyes are privily set against the poor. That's what David did. We're coming to number 3 here. Number 3 is the condemnation of apparently successful liars. Apparently successful. In 1 Samuel chapter 29, we're reading from verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 29, verse 6. Then Achish called David and said unto him, surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright. You hear that? Upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me. I don't know about with others, with me is the host is good in my sight, for I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord favor thee not. Eventually, already you've heard the story. They wanted to go for battle against Israel, and David was to go with Achish, and the lords of the Philistines said, no, he will not go with us. But Achish said, this man is a good man. Achish, that's what you think, because David had successfully killed all the people that could have told any story about him. And there are people, they successfully silence anyone that could have told any story about them. You think you know them, sir, you don't know them. You think you can't stand for them, like Achish was standing for David. No, you cannot stand for them. What they have done, and they have perfected that kind of habit, is to silence the people that really, truly know them. And nobody will have the courage, the stamina, the backbone to come tell any story about them. and you think they're good. And so he said, as long as you have been with me since you have come in unto me, you're good in my sight. And please, you know yourself, don't depend on the testimony of anyone for you to get to heaven. The whole world might say, oh, you're a good man, deeper life man, a good woman, deeper life woman. We know you. No, they don't know you. They only know you through what Achish said about you. Achish said, you've been living with him. You're good. What does Achish know about you? And he even goes on to say, look at verse 7. In verse 7, wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines. Verse 8. In verse 8, and David said unto Achish, but what have I done, and what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee? Unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king. Look at the innocent facial appearance as he was talking to Achish. Achish, I want to go with you, I want to help you. All the experience I've got in fighting, I'm bringing everything. All these, my 600 warriors, I'm bringing all of them. Why wouldn't I go with you? What have I done? What have you seen in me? You know, people can so talk that if you don't have the Spirit of God, or if they even try to silence the Spirit of God in you, already they silence other people who could tell any story about them. And when they also try to silence the Spirit of God in you, you begin, or you might begin to doubt yourself. This is an innocent man. This is an innocent woman. Why should I not allow him to have his way and to go along with me? Look at verse 9. Verse 9. And Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight. David, I hope you are not depending on this to get you to heaven. You're not depending on the testimony of Achish to get you to heaven, because you know more than Achish knows about you. Your conscience knows much more than what Achish is saying. Look at what Achish said. As an angel of God art thou been. Achish said, David, you're good. You're not only humanly good. The way I see you, all I know about you, I cannot think of anyone on earth to compare you with. You are like an angel of God. You know, you can be so deceived by subtle liars that you'll say, but they're righteous, but they're good, but they're nice, but they're even like angels. That's because they have successfully, secretly hidden the real thing about them from you. An angel of God, notwithstanding the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go with us to the battle. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee, And as soon as she bear up early in the morning and have light, depart, depart, go, because they reject you. Achish said, I accept you. I even accept you like an angel. But they rejected you. In leadership, church leadership, we have to go beyond the testimonies of David's individuals who say so much about themselves, and would have no way of checking up any other kind of information about them, only what they say about themselves. And are so secretive, and they silence the people that have told us the truth about them. And you must be very careful as a member of the church. How is it the leadership of the church is not exalting this innocent man, this good man, this man who lives like an angel? My friend, you don't know enough of anyone to say he is an angel. You don't know enough of anyone to say she is an angel. There may be things that have been hidden from you, and nobody is able, they don't have the courage, they're so silent, and their conscience has been taken away from them. They cannot come and tell you David is this and David is that, and he's an apparently successful man. He could kind of kill and totally eliminate, eradicate a whole village. He had the power, he had the intelligence, he had all he could do to silence everyone and to make everyone that will tell any story about him to kill all of them. Successful man, successful woman, in what he or she decides to do, especially protecting her cruelty, protecting her unrighteousness, protecting his corruption. They have the power to do that. They are apparently successful, but they are liars all the same. Point number two. Point number two is a strong delusion in believing secretive liars. Strong delusion. Believing secretive liars. Well, we know the story already. We're just bringing out the lessons we need to learn. David to Achish was a secretive liar, and Achish came under strong delusion because he believed everything that David had said. Three things we're looking at. Number one is the strong delusion through lawless, loveless liars. Number two is the sightless depravity of lawless, lustful liars. Number three is the scriptural denunciation of lawless, lost liars. Number one, the strong delusion through lawless, loveless liars. We're looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading from verse 10. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love for the truth, that they might be saved. There are people that do not have love for the truth, because their priority is not salvation. Their goal is not salvation. The goal is to be highly exalted here on earth. The goal is to look good to people here on earth. The goal is to have as much money as they can have here on earth. The goal is self-esteem. I want people respecting me and loving me. Yes, I know what I do in seeking, but I want their respect. I want their honor. Their ultimate is not salvation. They might say, I want heaven, I want heaven. Their ultimate is not heaven. The ultimate is self-respect, society respect, self-esteem. They do not have the love for the truth that they might be saved. Verse 11. In verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Achish had strong delusion and believed a lie. Already is being sucked in by David, a mighty warrior. David, a great Israelite, came to be his servant, and then he said, he has already disappointed Israel. He went to Judah and he cleared one of the cities of Judah. He's stinking in their sight. He will be my servant forever. That's what he was looking for. And because that's what he wanted, anything David said, he believed a lie. He was under a great spell, a great delusion. You know what? Sometimes already you look at a lady and you see the facial appearance and the apparent beauty. Apparent because there's no beauty except what you label beauty. The apparent beauty has already captured you. And whatever she says, you just believe. There's no investigation. There's no questioning. There's no finding out. Even from the people that know her, you are under now a great delusion. Somebody comes to you, is a great businessman. He has done this, he has done this, he has done that. Already you are sucked in by his presentation of his CV, of his qualification. And because that is the number one in your heart, you don't want to know any other thing. Even if somebody came and said, beware, this man hovering around you, this man that is coming around, and I hope you are not making a business deal. No, you don't even want to separate from that man. He's told you enough. You are sucked in already. And you are under strong delusion. You don't want to believe any other thing. Even if somebody came to tell you, nobody is going to come to tell you because he has silenced the people that could talk to you. But even if anybody was to come already, you don't want anybody to come and tell you anything different. You believe a lie. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, it tells us that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Had pleasure in unrighteousness. Look at number two. Number two, the sightless, the privity of lawless, lustful liars. Lustful, they have lust. They have inordinate desire for something, and they are after that thing. I must get that thing. I must have that thing. And because of that lustful desire, they are lawless. They say, there is no law. There is no law. They say, I can do whatever I want. They think they're talking about grace. No, they're not talking about grace. They're talking about lawlessness. They say there is no law. Is there no law in the New Testament? Of course there is. There are commandments. What are commandments? Commandments are laws. Are there no laws? The Lord said, this is what you will do. When you say this is what you will do, what is that? That's the law of Christ. But you say, no, there is no law in the New Testament. All they know is to do whatever they want to do. But as you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm reading here from verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 21. To them that are without law, without the Old Testament law, as without law, being not without law to God. You cannot walk with God if you are totally without law, without restriction, without do's and don'ts, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that the law of Christ. Have you read of recent Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7? The law of Christ, and you are under the law to Christ. Have you read of recent Matthew chapter 28, that you go into all the world, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you? You're under the law of Christ. Have you read of recent that I came to call sinners to repentance? What are they repenting of if there is no law? If everybody can do whatever they want to do anytime, and the lawless people can still get to heaven? No, the law of Christ is there. And it says, among that law, the law unto Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. In number three now, in number three, it tells us the scriptural denunciation of lawless, lost liars. Liars are lost. They're lost from the kingdom of God. They are lost from the favor of God. By their choosing to lie, they separate themselves from the presence of God, from the provision of God, and from the paradise of God. Revelation chapter 21, I'm reading from verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful, why do people lie? Because they are fearful. If they know this about me, they'll not respect me. They are fearful, they'll not have enough respect. If they know this about me, they will not associate with me. I'll be lonely, I'll be alone. That's why they tell lies. Why do people tell lies? They're fearful. If they know this about me, they will not give me the job, they'll not give me the privilege. They're fearful. And the unbelieving, what do people tell lies? Because they are unbelieving, they don't believe that God can forgive them, and that God can set them free, and God can blot away all that from his own sight, and from the sight of the people that know the truth, and from the sight of the people that want to give them something that will favor them. They feel, if they know this about me, they will not marry me. If they know this about me, they will not go along with me. The unbelieving and the abominable liars are abominable before the Lord. And the murderers, why did David murder all those people? Oh, because I was fearful. If Achish knew that I did this, then he might get me out of the place he has given me. And it says, and the all mongers, and the sorcerers, the sorcerers and the witches and the wizards and the people that use occultic power. Why do they do that? Well, they are fearful that the power of God alone is not enough. Not enough to protect them. Not enough to prosper them. Not enough to heal them. Not enough to do good for them. Because of that, they go into sorcery. They go to familiar spirit. And they go to witchcraft. But it says all the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars. All liars, private liars, all liars, public liars, all liars, pulpit liars, all liars, professional liars, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, the eternal death, eternal separation from God. Verse 27. In verse 27, and there shall in no wise, in no case enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Maketh a lie. Maketh a lie. Somebody has to manufacture a lie before he can bring it out from his mouth. We call it premeditative lying. They make it. They manufacture it. They look ahead. The people know the truth and they know this is the real truth. Then I'll get into trouble. What do I say? Then they make a lie, they manufacture a lie. It's a premeditative lie. And it said, no maketh a lie, but which are written, only the people who are written in the book of life shall get to heaven. We're coming to point number three. Point number three, the sanctifying dominion bestowed on spiritual leaders. Those who are able to lead their own lives. They're able to control your life. And you are able to say, as a person, a Christian, a child of God, this is the way I am going. And you make a covenant with God. And you know that God has made the path for you, and by his grace, by his power, by his love, by his mercy, you don't depend on yourself to get there. You depend on his mercy, and because of that, you have nothing to do with lying. You are able to get to the place you ought to go. I come into this under three subtitles. Number one, godly repentance and restitution for personal private lying. Number two is gracious restoration and renewal without professional protective line. Number three, the glorious rapture of the righteous free from previous polluting lies. Number one, the godly repentance and restitution for personal private line. The Lord wants something clean, something pure, and he wants our lives to be completely clear before him. He wants us to remember what salvation really means. He wants us not to carry on a fake paper, counterfeit certificate of salvation, but something real. And he wants us to remember the first time we came to know the Lord. What were you at that time? And if you did anything wrong, you came to the church, we didn't know you, but you came forward and you told the truth about yourself when you were really saved. He wants us to come back to that level, that you have nothing to protect. Whatever you've got after you came to the church, you got it by grace. You cannot keep it by lying. Revelation chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 4. In Revelation chapter 2, reading from verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. David, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Such a liar, I have something against thee. Secretive liar, I have something against thee. Private liar, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. When you first came to the Lord, the only thing you could think about, will God be happy with this first love? Will Christ be happy with this first love? Will Christ approve of this first love? A temptation might come to paint a different picture and to tell a little lie, to cut corners and to say something about yourself, about your actions, about your relationships. Your conscience will say, is that the absolute truth when you are the first love? But now, how is it? What's the first thing you think about? Do you think about God first thing? No. Christ first thing? No. Self as the first thing. How will I look in their presence? I'm now a pastor. I'm now a preacher. I'm now a leader. I'm now a worker. I'm now a respected servant of God. If I say it this way, will they still appreciate me, or will I lose my position? The first love is gone. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. And do the first, or come back to the way you were in the past, when you first knew the Lord. And when the sunshine of the gospel was in your heart, you had nothing to color, you had nothing to hide, and you had nothing to page for with anybody. And when they tell you something, you don't drop your head, you don't think, and say, okay, what do I say? And if there are people there that could tell the truth about you, you don't look at them and use your hand to clip your lips together, indicating to them, shut up, don't talk, because if you talk, this person I'm talking to will know what I don't want him to know. So clip your lips together. You know, when we first knew the Lord, we're not doing something like that. Remember, repent and come back to the Lord. Look at number two. Number two, we're looking at gracious restoration and renewal without professional protective lying. You don't take your protection into your hand, protecting yourself, protecting your dignity. Now, do you have dignity really when you're a liar? Do you have dignity really when you are a deceiver? Does your conscience tell you you still have any dignity remaining when you know you are a liar? No, you don't have dignity. What are you trying to protect? Come out the way things are, and God will forgive you, and God himself will blot out all your transgressions when you are graciously forgiven and you are totally restored. That is what will bring back the dignity you ought to have. Psalm 51. I'm reading from verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. We don't have the truth in our heart and say another thing. Let the truth in the heart come out. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Not wisdom that tells lies, wisdom that covers up, wisdom that sweeps crime under the carpet, not wisdom that sweeps adultery, fornication under the carpet, not wisdom, the wisdom of the devil that covers up sin, the wisdom of God that allows us to live transparently. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, it says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. 8, in verse 8, it says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. As you're hiding the truth and bringing out lies, your heart is a broken heart. Your life is a broken life. Your mind is a broken mind. Your body is even a broken body. It is when there is restoration. It is when there is renewal. It is when there is total forgiveness. It is when the truth comes out and you're a plain man, you're a plain woman. Then your mind will resurrect and your heart will come with revival, renewal, and joy. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, hide thy face from my sin. When you confess them, when you repent of them, and when you make the proper restitution, blot out all my iniquities. In verse 10, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 11, verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, and make not thy Holy Spirit, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Fake salvation does not have joy. Counterfeit salvation does not have joy. Hypocritical salvation does not have joy. Make believe salvation does not have inner joy. It is when there's repentance, there's restoration, there is renewal, then there's real salvation. And that comes with that inner joy. You're free within, you're free all around. And it says then, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, then will I teach. My brother, you can't teach a condemnation in the heart. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If your life is tainted with lying and deception, what can you teach? If you are condemned with lies and hypocrisy, what can you teach? Somebody might still call you a brother, but you know you are not. A sister, but you know you are not. A pastor, but you know you are not. A preacher, but you know you are not. A teacher, but you know you are not. You know you are a liar, preacher. No, they don't match. They don't go together. Liar, believer. No, they don't match. They don't go together. They might call you by any title. If you are a liar, If you are a hypocrite, if you are the one covering up and you are silencing all the people that could have told things about you, and you have conquered them. You're not conquering sin, you conquered them. And you clip their mouths together and they cannot talk. You cannot say you're a teacher. It is when you're forgiven and when you're restored, when you're renewed, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. We're looking at number three. Number three, we're looking at the glorious rapture of the righteous who are free from previous polluting lies. The lies of the past, all confessed. The previous lies, all repented of. And the cord of habit that ties you to the previous habit of lying, all that cord has been cut. Now, God makes you truthful, faithful, free, righteous before the Lord. Those are the people that are going to heaven, and those are the people that are going to have the experience of the rapture on the final day. It's still the day of mercy and the day of grace. And before the trumpet sounds, why don't you call upon the Lord in all sincerity, in all truthfulness, and in all honesty, and let him do the work of grace and restore you fully, and know that in the presence of God, your life is plain. Your life is clear. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 14. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, which die in Jesus, not that they die in hypocrisy, in lie, in cover up. They don't, it's not that they have died in secret sin that they covered up and they silenced everybody. Don't talk about me to anyone. I heard somebody told me that you said this. And that's even an innocent thing that somebody said about him, about her, to so and so. Why do you listen to people about me? Don't ever hear, listen to anything about me. What's the matter, sir? What's the matter, madam? Let them talk. What do you want to silence everybody? If you are going to get to heaven, you must sleep in Jesus. It says, we believe that them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, not by the opinion of the preacher, not by the ideas, ideologies of Mr. So-and-so, Madam So-and-so, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, alive in righteousness, and remain, we remain in Christ unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent, precede, hinder them which are asleep. Then in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Any amen there?
Yeah.
Not the dead in corruption. While they're still alive, we see the corruption. But people are afraid to talk or point out anything. And they're only whispering behind corruption, crime. Not those who die in crime. While they were alive, you know, people could see the crime. But they didn't have the stamina, the backbone to talk. And they were only talking behind crime. And not the people that die in compromise. We know they are compromising, but you know, we can't talk. They've silenced people. They've taken away their courage and conscience. The people that live in compromise. It's not talking about the people that their hearts are open before God and before man. They are transparently righteous in all their dealings, in everything they do. It says the people who die, who sleep in Christ, they are the people that will rise first. In verse 17, then we which are alive, and we have nothing to cover, we which are alive, we have nothing to be secretive about, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I pray your Christian journey will not end in darkness, will not end in hell, will end in the rapture. Somebody shout rapture. You know, that's our goal, and it may happen anytime. And if somebody goes into corruption, my friend, what if you don't have chance to repent? What if the rapture happens before the next opportunity to repent? What if death comes before you have the next chance to repent? I know I need to set that right. Too much cover up, too much corruption, too much hypocrisy, too much make-believe. I know I have to set that right. Too much internal sin, and too much covenant with people. Make a covenant with me that this sin we have done, you'll never open your mouth to tell anyone. Too much covenant with sin partners. That, okay, you'll correct it later. Sometime, somehow, somewhere, I'll get it corrected. What if the rapture happens before you have a chance to break that covenant? All these kind of hard work in service, all these kind of seriousness, devotion, zeal, and yet that hidden thing is there. What are you going to do? Don't allow the rapture. We don't know when it will happen. Don't allow it to happen before you set your life right. Don't allow religiosity to kind of clamp you down and make you feel, I'm not ready now. If I say that, if I reveal that, if I confess that, if I expose that, about my position, if the rapture happens and you don't make it, how about your position? What will happen to your position? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I pray the mercy of God will be available for you. And I pray that you'll grab that mercy of God. I pray that this day you get rid of all kinds of lying. Personal, private lying, get rid. Professional lying, get rid of that. Premeditative lying, get rid of that. And perpetual lying, lying that has become a habit, get rid of that. Remember, when you first came to the Lord, repent, be restored, and be renewed. And the grace of God be abundant in your life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Victory in your life, in Jesus' name. Amen. New life, new cleansing, a new purging in all our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I pray that God's love will reach out to you. God's mercy, compassion will reach out to you. Reach out back to God and let your sincerity, your transparency meet the mercy and the compassion of God. He'll forgive the past, he'll cleanse the present, and he'll prepare you for the coming rapture of the saints, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good amen. Amen. Better amen. Amen. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. Let's rise up. Talk to the Lord in prayer. God is good. A day of mercy, compassion, love. But he requires you that you remember when you came to know the Lord. And if you have not known the Lord, remember, this is your day to repent of your sin. Come to Christ, come to the Calvary, come to the cross by faith. He'll forgive you and save you. And all your life, he'll renew you. If you're a backslider, he'll restore you. The grace of God is available.